Right, we're on a series called Financial Fitness. This is part two. If you missed last week's part one, it should be up on the church website, rlfwc.com. Haven't really taught about finances for quite a few years, like in an in-depth thing, so we're going to do this for a couple weeks and just kind of learn a little bit more about things. Like I mentioned last week, finances is mentioned about 2,300 times in the Bible, which is quite a bit compared to other things, and I'll bring that stat up maybe next week, we'll see. All right, so we're going to look today about maybe some wrong thinking about finances, how we kind of get off on the wrong tangent. And first I want to ask is the accumulation of money wrong? You know, is living hand to mouth more spiritual than having a rainy day fund? You know, when it comes to money, Christians have a lot of different ideas. Used to be in the old days, being poor made you more spiritual than being rich. But that's a false claim. But that's how it used to be. You know, they used to believe that, you know, then they would believe that you was more spiritual if you didn't have anything. But see, money's not evil. It's the love of money that's evil. And money is just a tool by which we do business here in this world. So it just all depends on your perception and perspective. And we looked at that last week. A little recap about last week is we looked at Deuteronomy 8:18, you know, about how God has given his covenant people the power to create wealth. If we have relationship with Jesus Christ, we're in covenant with God. That's the only way you and I can get in covenant with God now. You know, is to become born again, become a child of God. Now we have that God connection, you know. So how that works. And there is, like I mentioned, a difference between perception and perspective. You know, our perspective in life, you know, challenges our perception in a way. It's how we look at things. And, you know, just like if look at your political persuasion, Republican and Democrat, they can look at the same thing from their perspective, but the perspective from a Democrat compared to the perspective from a Republican, they're going to perceive information in different ways. It's just like that. So that's why it's so important that we work on our perspective, and we kind of looked at that last week. And then I want us to change the way we look at life in the sense where, you know, maybe we feel we have lack all the time. But if we look at it from the perspective that if we have more money at the end of the month than we have obligations, you're blessed because you have enough to pay your bills. And you need to see yourself that way, is that we are a blessed people. Now, the passage that we're going to look at today is in Luke chapter 12, and it's verse 13 to 21. It's talking about a man who Jesus gave a parable, was talking about a man who kind of didn't get along with family a little bit. And the problem was, is that he wanted his share of the inheritance. Sometimes, you know, those sort of things can cause a lot of division in family. So we're going to pick this up in verse 13. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who has appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. That's the key. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But then God said to him, you fool. I hate it when God calls a person a fool, don't you? I don't want to be in that crowd. He said, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now there's the problem. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your wisdom and revelation, Lord, that you desire for us to understand how we as Christians are to interact in this world when it comes to buying and selling, and how we treat finances, Lord, and being good stewards. Lord, I pray for wisdom and revelation to be poured out to each of our hearts and our minds. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. Lord, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, picture this. Jesus was teaching, and there was all kinds of people just surrounded him. As a matter of fact, there were so many people, they were just trampling on each other because they just wanted to get close. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And my first point I want to say is, pardon my interruption. So Jesus had been teaching and preaching up a storm, evidently, because all these people were thronging, just wanting to get close to him to hear this information. Here's some of the things that he'd been sharing, and you can look this up at you later, but right in the first verses of this chapter, it'll tell kind of some of the things he was talking about. You know, he was talking about some heavy revelations, some heavy revies, what I call it. He had been talking about hypocrisy. Not a big fan of hypocrisy. God's not. You know, being pretenders. He doesn't like that. So he was dealing with some hard things. Then he talked about God's judgment. You know, what does it take to get judged by God, and how does all that work out? Then he was talking about hell. So he was getting into some stuff that people need to listen to. And then he also went into omniscience, meaning he knew the hairs on their heads, or lack thereof, if you know what I'm saying. You know, so he was talking about that. Then it talked about the problem is if somebody denies the Father, meaning in this life, if you get challenged by somebody, and hey, you know, if you're a Christian or you're a follower of God, and you say, no, I'm not. Well, if we deny the Father, then the Father's going to deny us. So it talks a little bit about witnessing there and things. Then he capped it off kind of talking about the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was on a roll. He was really pouring out this vast information of important things that people need to grab a hold of. And all of a sudden, here's a guy in the crowd just blurts out and interrupted Jesus when he was teaching. And he told Jesus, hey, tell my brother to give me what's mine. And then Jesus said, who appointed me to be the arbiter and all that stuff? So here's the thing that was the problem, is that the man was so focused on his own personal problem, he had probably missed out on everything that Jesus was talking about. And that's what it's like for us in life. We can miss out on all the good things around us when we are just focused on what's going wrong. And that will rob us of our joy and get us to miss out on things, because lack of focus can cause us to miss out on what God's trying to reveal to us and what he's trying to tell us. And what happens is that you and I can get this sickness. Now, I know a lot of people's fighting flus now and different things. It's kind of, you know, been hearing about that. But one of the things that's even worse than getting the flu is eye-itis. Have you ever had eye-itis? Nobody? I'm sure one of us has. Because remember, perspective affects our perception. And so this man was getting into eye-itis, where he could just focus on himself. And when we do that, then we get in trouble. And so Jesus took this opportunity of this opportunity of this interruption to talk about greed. You know, this is what I found out in life. I don't know if you, but I'm a planner. I like to go get things done. I have certain things I want to accomplish. But sometimes it is the interruptions of life that opens the door to minister to someone. And we need to be open to those interruptions. You know, you may be focused on trying to get things done around the house, but all of a sudden, one of your kids interrupts you wanting to know maybe something very important. And you need to take that opportunity as an opportunity from God to be able to minister life to them instead of brushing them off. And so Jesus could have said, hey, just wait a minute. You know, I'm on a roll here. You know, I'm preaching about all this stuff. That doesn't really fit in my sermon. But no, Jesus took that opportunity because it was a picture that I'm sure everybody around there heard this man ask that question. And Jesus says, beware of greed. Not just greed, every form of greed. We can be greedy, can't we? And that's what we have to be careful of. And so what happened is that this situation in this man's life revealed a root cause. See, the fact of his relationship with his brother wasn't the main problem, although there can be sibling rivalry, you know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to stuff. You know, like if you're cutting up a candy bar for two kids, you know, his piece is bigger than mine. You know, have you ever had that? Or maybe you're sharing a bottle of pop and you're pouring it and they're getting out the tape measure and they're just making sure. You know what I'm saying? Have you been down that road? You know, just making sure, you know, that they didn't. Or, you know, the old trick, you cut something in half and, you know, or maybe one of them got two pieces, one got one. So you just take the one piece, cut it in two. Now you got two. You know what I'm saying? There's that trick, parents, in case you ever need to try that at home. You know, they till they catch on when they get a little older. But so all these things were just symptoms of what the deep root was. And that was the fact that the man had some greed in his heart. And don't be offended if you feel, because we all, it's a sin nature. It's something that's inside of us. You know, survival of the fittest, you know, preservation of number one. That is something that we inherit from the world system. That's just in us. And we have to be careful and we got to root that out and be able to deal with it. So that's something that we have to be careful about. So the question sometimes we need to ask ourselves is, why do we get so focused on money? Why do we do that? Why are we worried about these things? You know, it is, like I said, it's kind of falls under the curse. You know what the curse is, right? But the good news is Jesus redeemed us from what? The curse. He redeemed us from the curse. So we don't have to operate out of fear. And so, you know, the Bible says where there's fear, there is torment. Right? Have you ever been tormented about money? Maybe not having enough. I know it's a real question. It's a real problem sometimes. You know, as well as pastor, I, you know, am the chairperson for the Salvation Army in our county, and I know the people that come in, you know, asking for help. I know some of the things they go through, and it can be very difficult. You know, all the things that go on and, you know, how to pay the bills and inflation and all that stuff. I know that is a very difficult situation. You know, but, you know, these things can come in, and we have to learn some things to get through this, because Jesus warned us that, you know, not even just if we're just poor, but he said, even if we have abundance, his life does not consist in his possessions. So he also warned that a rich man has a hard time getting the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because many times their focus is wrong. Their God is not the true God. Their God is money. And we're going to go into that later on. So I want us to, first point I want us to see here in a sense is there's a big difference between greed and need. Big difference between greed and need. You know, this man in the parable, he wanted a bigger barn, didn't he? He wanted to be able to, he was so blessed. His crop was so big. Have you ever driven by, you know, in the fall, like out here at the mill or whatever, and they're storing corn on the ground? The grain bins are full. They can't pack another kernel of corn in there. So what do? They just get out the elevator and turn it over, and they just run the corn on the ground. And then they may cover it with something to keep the moisture off and things like that. And it'll keep like that for a while, you know, over the winter. Of course, it's cold. And then they try to get rid of that first. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there is abundance. And we go through those times of abundance. But Jesus also said that, you know, we can be greedy about other things other than money. And because Jesus said, be careful about all forms of greed. What are some other things we have to be careful about? Well, some people can be greedy about fame. They want to be famous. They want to stand out, you know. People who, and sometimes people with that problem are really insecure. Not all the time, but sometimes that insecurity drives them to want to be the center of attention all the time. They want to be, they just clamor for attention from people. Look at me, look at what I've done. You know, praise me, ain't I so good? All these things. Sometimes we can be greedy about just having fancy things, you know. We can have fancy clothes, cars, or houses. I've always told this joke. I mean, over on a certain street of town, you know, there was like $80,000 four-wheel drive truck sitting in front of a $30,000 house. Come on now. That's a little different, ain't it? You know, it's all good to have a good ride. Everybody likes a good ride, something dependable, but come on. That's you got your perspective all wrong, you know? And we want things. We want, you know, all this stuff. Some people go after position or status. You know, they're greedy. They want to be, you know, in charge of things and, you know, make sure that everybody looks to them. And did you know also that we can even be greedy about spiritual things? That don't seem right, but it can be. Because remember Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts? He had come out of sorcery and been delivered, but he still wasn't totally correct yet. You know what I mean? How many know when you get saved, sometimes you still got some stuff? Well, he saw the apostles ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit and being able to bestow the gift of the Holy Spirit on people, and he wanted to buy it with money. You know, what would that be like? You know, you come in here and you're praying for people and they're getting ministered to and being baptized in the Holy Spirit maybe, and all of a sudden somebody comes in, hey, I want to do that. Can I give you $100? So I could do that too? He wanted that power. He wanted to have that spiritual thing. So those are some things that, you know, you and I can get greedy about and they can just sneak in on us. Now, the Bible talks about, and we're going to go on this later on more, but it talks about being a steward, having stewardship. You know, you just got to step back and take a panoramic view of life. You know, what's life all about? Technically, without being too morbid, we're just passing through. That's all it is. We're just passing through this life. And we are to be trustworthy with what God has given us. If you just step back and look at the big picture. But so many times we get so focused on everything that we think we need to do, things that we want, and it's okay to want things. I'm not getting on that. But sometimes we go to excess. And what happens is, you know, you can't, anything that we accumulate in this world, we can't take with us. Now, it's all good because God says that we're supposed to maybe accumulate some things and be able to even leave it to our children's children. I mean, be a blessing to your children when you die and then, you know, be a blessing to your grandchildren. I mean, that's biblical principle too. But we can never take with us money to heaven. You can't take your fancy clothes to heaven. You can't take your fancy Gucci bag or whatever those things are to heaven. Not needed up there. That's why Jesus says, lay for yourself treasure in heaven. Because the truth is about being a steward is that you and I are going to give an account for what we did with what we had. Now, that's an important thing to remember. What did I do with what God has given me? How did I manage this thing? Because that's where I was manager. Now, God wants us to seek increase, but not greed. Remember last week I talked about that fine line that we walk between, you know, grace and works. You know, you have to have works, but you want to be in grace when you do it. You know, it's a fine line. Well, it's the same thing. God wants us to have increase with what we have. We're supposed to be good stewards, but you don't want to get greedy about it. You say, well, what do you say that God wants us to have increase? Well, remember the parable of the talents in the Bible. We may go into some of the parables this year. That's kind of what Lord's laid on my heart. Not sure when we're going to get to that. But the owner came and gave to three different people three different things. One of them he gave 5 talents. I think one he gave 2 talents and one he gave 1 talent. The person with 5 talents went and invested it, doubled it, got 10 talents. Man, that's good stuff, ain't it? I'd like to double your money. That's a good investment. Well, the other guy had 2 talents. Well, he took and got involved and invested that and doubled it, got 4 talents. Well, the person that was only given 1 talent, he hid it, didn't invest it. Well, then the owner came and said, hey, give an account for what I've given you. One who had 5 said, hey, I double it, got 10. One who had 2 said, hey, I double it, got 4. One who got 1 said, hey, I didn't think you was that, you know, kind of criticized the owner. And anyway, said, I hit it. I didn't want to lose it. Owner said, hey, you're a fool. Paraphrasing. He took that 1 talent from that guy who only had 1, and he gave it to the guy who had 10. Because it's about increase, being a good steward. See, the one who only had 1 probably had greed in his heart. He was so scared to lose it. He was just clamoring, holding on. So money is something that you and I use as a tool to be able to do business on this earth and hopefully pay attention to some people that may be smarter than us and maybe invest it properly so we can have some increase. And we're going to why we need increase in a minute. But we should seek increase in our life. It's not wrong to seek increase. But it's wrong to be greedy about it. And so we got to be able to sort that out. It's a fine line. And, you know, and I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, if we have a relationship with God, then we can handle money, people. If we have a relationship with God. And we have a good relationship with God. It'll help us to be able to navigate some of these things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you and I get into. How many know you can't help everybody? Right? You can't. Or we're not supposed to help everybody. I believe we're supposed to help the people that God lays on our heart. And God will do that. By the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden just give us a little nudge. Hey, I want you to help this person. They have a need. You have abundance, they have lack. So he lays it on our heart. Now, not everybody has lack. Do I help? I don't help everybody has lack with my own personal money. You know, I do the ones that, and the same with church. I mean, I try to be led by the Spirit when helping people because sometimes some people need a little kick in the pants. There's also the scripture that says, hey, you don't work, you don't eat. Right? So how do you handle that? So there's a lot to navigate. You know, when you balance these things out, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to know what scripture to apply at what time. Amen? Just simple as that. And it takes a little bit of work to get into it. So how do we find that balance? Well, here's a couple things to find increase without greed is, you know, check the motive of our heart. Why do we want increase? You know, which boils down to, what do we want to do with our riches? How do we manage that, okay? Which leads me to my next point, is managing success. You know, like I said, never forget, we're just a steward. We're not the owner. God owns everything. So we work for God. God's my boss. You know, he's my ultimate boss. And we need to see it that way. You know, the fact, from my perspective, is that the fact that the man was building a bigger barn, that was not a problem. He needed a bigger barn because he had too much. The problem was why he built the bigger barn. Well, that's motive. He built the bigger barn so he wouldn't need God anymore. He could eat, drink, and be merry, live it up, and not have to worry about another thing in his life. And that got him in trouble. It was the motive. So that's why Jesus, he deals with the roots. He deals with the motives of our problem. Because the man, Benzi, was greedy. He trusted in his own riches and abilities instead of the one who had given him the riches and abilities. So we are to never trust in our own riches and abilities, but only trust in the one who gives us riches and abilities. You know, like I mentioned earlier about having stuff, you know, to me, it's not wrong to have a savings account or an IRA, and you need one. You know, when you're young, you don't think about that stuff. But when you get older, depends how long you're going to live. I mean, God only knows, right? Life's a vapor. But, you know, you probably need to have some money for retirement. I've shared this with people privately. I might have said it here. One of the biggest mistakes I made in life, and I've made one or two at least, is when I was 20, I moved to Denver, and my bank had IRAs. I'd never heard of them before. And back then, I think you could put $2,000 in, being a single person, and I never did that because I might need that money. But if I would have done that, the first 10 years of being in the working, you know, my retirement would have been totally established. It would have helped because money works over time. But I made that mistake, and I never started till I was in late, I don't remember how old I was. And usually I'm the death, you know, we invested and the market went down. You know what I'm saying? You ever been one of those guys? But anyway, it's worked out. I mean, we do have a small IRA, and it helps, you know, for retirement, because to be honest, people, you cannot live on Social Security. Somebody's on Social Security right now and they're laughing, you know. They know. I mean, it's good. It's a blessing to have that. But if you're younger now and you can, try putting a little money away. You know, be a good steward, you know, and just let it start working for you. And I know a guy, if you need to know a guy, that'd help you. No, I'm kidding. So, in doing this, an increase is that we need to know the difference between seed and feed. Seed and feed. You know, both seed and feed are inside every harvest, and we need to know the difference between the two. How that works is, like, in the old days, you didn't buy your seed from a store. You had to grow your food in the garden, and then you took some of that and you saved it back for next year as seed. Like, say, your potatoes. You know, you could eat all your taters, but then when springtime come around, you ain't got no taters to plant. So you ain't going to get no more taters. And so what they did is the taters, if you keep them in, we had a cave. My great-grandma, my grandpa had one up there, and I used to go down on that thing, and there were salamanders. It's a very not a fine place to live. It was kind of fun. It was like living in a cave, but kind of wetter. And anyway, you take those potatoes, and then, have you ever bought potatoes and they grow eyes on them? Okay, that's seed. And so what would happen is you would get these potatoes, and then as long as they're in the dark, they won't grow sprouts. But as soon as they're exposed to a little bit of light, they would start sprouting out. Well, then you'd cut the potatoes up and save the sprouts. One potato might have 3 sprouts on it or something. You would cut the potato in a way that each piece would have a sprout. And then they would dig the holes, and then you just put a potato in there and cover it up. Well, then you got potatoes for the next year. But if you ate all your taters, you don't have seed for the next year. You may eat and be happy the first year, might put on a little weight. Eat too many taters, it may have done that. Right? But the next year, no taters. You have to sanctify a fast or something. Now you starve and you might as well fast, right? Get some good out of it. So we need to know the difference. So seed is what we sow and feed is what we eat. So watching out for self. I need to pick up the pace here a little bit. You know, we got that enemy called self. And here's three self things we got to be careful about. Number one is self-assurance. The man here only trusted in his self instead of God. Talking about the man who built the bigger barns. Then we got self-security. You know, money can give us a false sense of security. See, I found out in my life, money comes, money goes, but God remains forever. You know, I remember in school, I saw a story always stuck out to me. One of my substitute teachers come in, and she was her husband was a farmer, and anyway, and she told the story, and to me, it was a lot of money at the time, but she said, my husband, whenever our checking account gets below $10,000, he gets real freaky. He stresses out. I know that sounds like a lot of money to some, but when you're a farmer and you got to buy different things to keep the business going, yeah. But see, he was trusting in his pile. As long as my pile's big enough, I'm okay. But when your pile gets too small, then you start to stress. So that means we trust in the wrong thing. And then lastly, self-satisfaction. You know, when we let things of this world satisfy us more than the things of God. Okay, last point I want to get to today is how do we get rich towards God? And we want to get into this flow, and it's called generosity over greed. The word generosity, what's that mean? To be generous. See, greed and generosity cannot exist together. One will choke out the other. I've always said the way you kill greed is to start giving. That's the only way I found to kill it, the best way. I mean, we can fast, that'll put it down a little bit. But, you know, when you feel like you're greedy and you walk into that kind of fear, you know, one thing that'll put a nail in it right now is when you start to give away some of the things you have to those who have less than you. Works every time. So, being a good steward means that we need to be smart about what God's given to us. You know, we need to separate our needs from our wants. That's a thing you have to have a come to Jesus moment about. You know, what do I really need here? And I got this list of wants, some extras. That's okay. But don't let your wants be more important than your needs. Correct? Like the old story I told, this one girl got her... She had some kids, and she got her check from the government for her earned income credit. Praise God for earned income credit, right? If you're a parent, they still do that. They did it when I had kids. Well, she took her earned income credit and went to Hawaii. Then she came back, and she couldn't pay her water bill. So we had to help her pay her water bill. I hated helping pay that water bill. I loved the girl, but kind of irritated me. I've never been to Hawaii. You know what I mean? Here, her want was to go to Hawaii, but her need was to make sure she had enough to pay her bills. You know, spoiler alert, earned income credit from the government is not to go out and live it up. You should divide that into 12 and use a little bit each month to help pay your bills. That's what it's for. It's for the whole year. Well, I didn't burst nobody's bubble on that one, but that's just the way it works. You know what I mean? That's what it's for. It helps us to pay our bills. So, eternal is always more important than temporal, and we need to stop measuring success by what we have. Okay, kingdom success is what we need to see. Kingdom success is not measured by how much we keep, but by how much we're willing to give. That's the key. You know, to be successful in the kingdom of God is not by how much we can accumulate in life, but how much of that stuff do we have, are we willing to part with? You know, I remember somebody who would tithe 10% of their free money from the government, but then when they got a job, they quit tithing. It was easy to give somebody else's money away, but they wouldn't give theirs away. That's greed. That is greed. Got quiet all of a sudden on that. So, here's some keys to being rich. This will be closing it out. Number one, being rich towards God is to put God first in our life, use our talents and resources to live a life to bring glory to His name. You know what I mean? Meaning, be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. You know, God's given you giftings and talents, and you, like I said last week, you exchange your time and your talent to get treasure, correct? God's given you two things for sure. You have time, we all have the same amount of time. We don't all have the same talents. Different people have different talents than others. But then we all go to work and we exchange this for treasure, and then it's what we do with that treasure, okay? So how we do that. Number two, practice generosity. Be willing to share with what we have with others by spirit-led giving. Like I mentioned, you can't help everybody, but don't harden your heart on that. Don't harden your heart. When you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you to give somebody $50, you'd be well ahead in life to give them the $50. Or $20, whatever. Because there's a blessing on underside, on the other side of that little nudge from God. Because we get tested. I got tested last week. You know what happened right after I preached this? I don't know how the person got my phone number. I got a call from somebody that needed food. But I do know this, he who lends to the poor lends to the Lord. So I opened up my wallet and I gave him a little bit of money. Because their check wasn't coming for a day or two and they hadn't eaten in a day or two. So I was tested. Do I practice what I preach? You know what I'm saying? I could have said, wrong number. Beep, please leave your message after the time. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but I mean, it was just a test from God. I know in my heart I had to do something. So that's all I'm saying. When you feel that nudge, you know, do it. Be grateful by acknowledging that God is a true source of supply. That's number three. Number four, be mindful by keeping up your guard against any form of greed or fear of lack creeping into our life. And then lastly, stay connected to other followers of Christ by uniting our faith and resources to build the kingdom of God. That's what we do here at the local church, is when we give our money and we give our time and we unite our faith together, we're building up God's kingdom. Amen? We're doing it for the glory of God. So remember what Jesus said, to beware of all forms of greed. I know that wasn't maybe the funnest sermon to hear, but we get to hear these things. And it'll help us get to where God wants us to be. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer.